here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to an exclusive interview from the Zach's Friday Finish Line team. Today, we are going to be joined by Phil Bock to discuss investing in customer satisfaction. Phil Bock is the CEO of ACSI Funds, and he is widely regarded as an expert in the management, development, and trading of ETFs.
ACSI Funds, in association with the American Consumer Satisfaction Index, created the American Customer Satisfaction Investable Index, an investment paradigm that is founded on the belief that improving loyalty and perpetuating consumer spending is what drives company revenue and ultimately stock price.
ACSI Funds also produces the American Customer Satisfaction Core Alpha ETF, which trades under the ticker ACSI. The ETF provides large-cap U.S. equity exposure to investors with individual companies weighted within each sector by their ACSI customer satisfaction scores. So let's begin by discussing your firm's belief that a company's customer satisfaction results can have an impact on its stock price. What principles is this belief founded on, and why is it important for investors to consider something like customer loyalty?
So the American Customer Satisfaction Index, which is the data source that our firm is founded on, it was created not as a strategy to invest in the stock market. It was created as an economic indicator at the University of Michigan alongside the sentiment index. So the sentiment tells you whether people are going to buy, and the American Customer Satisfaction Index was created to tell you where people were going to buy and more about buying behavior. And over the course of 20 years that this data was published, we found and studied that there was a correlation between increasing or decreasing customer satisfaction and earnings surprises that would come in periodically from companies. So stocks tend to move off of big earnings surprises, as we all know, but you know, a lot of times these earnings surprises come in and somebody hits or misses their earnings, and people don't stop and think, well, what could we have done to foretell that? What could we have done to see that coming? The earnings are just a composite of customer spending, right? So if you talk to the customers and you hear what the customers think, and are customers willing to return and do business with the company or not, you can get a lot of insight, as is intuitive, as you'd expect, but you can get a lot of insight into whether or not you expect the earnings to be positive or negative.
Yeah, so I want to touch on a quote that's displayed very proudly on your company's site, and it's by a founding partner of ACSI Funds, Claes Fornell. He says, quote, "A healthy economy has satisfied consumers and a healthy company has satisfied customers," unquote. That's kind of a two-part statement. So let's start with the first part. Do you believe that we are in a healthy economy full of satisfied consumers right now?
Yeah, we are. So the difference between a consumer and a customer is a consumer can have an opinion about any given company, but a customer is specifically spending money at that company. So if you look at the broad consumer sentiment indexes, the consumer spending right now just took a slight step back. But if you look at all the indicators on the consumer side, they are strong across the board, in some cases stronger than they've been in a good 10 years. So the consumer confidence, the consumer spending, the consumer indicator numbers are all very strong. But a healthy company has satisfied customers because a healthy company can rely on the recurring revenue that they know that their satisfied customers will bring. Plus, you have customers that are going to spread word of mouth. And what having good customer satisfaction allows a company to do is to have pricing power over their customers and to be able to increase their margins because their customers are willing to come back and continue to do business with them.
To expand more on that point of the customers and the companies, looking at what investors might consider some of the corporate giants out there, who do you or your firm look at specifically as the leaders in quote-unquote satisfying customers right now?
The biggest and most glaring example right now is Amazon.com. And a lot of people are bullish Amazon for a lot of reasons, but if you really look at the story of Amazon, the key to their success, what made them different than everybody else and all the other internet retailers, was their customer experience and their focus on the customer experience. If you look at Bezos' letter that he came out with at the last earnings statement just a couple weeks ago, he touted that they were the top-rated company by the American Customer Satisfaction Index, and he talked about his, I think he called it an obsessive or myopic focus on the customer experience. So everything that they've done, including putting in Prime and the two-day shipping and the whole experience of going on to Amazon, has been designed with the customer focus in mind. and they've had obviously incredible success as a result. But if you look down into every sector, and there's different elasticities, right? So a utility or a gas station might have a little less elasticity than a fast food store, but within the elasticities of each sector, there are clear winners and clear losers in terms of their customer satisfaction. And as we see with a 3 to 11 month lag, so a varying lag amount, but there will be an effect down the road in that company's stock price.
Definitely. Phil, are you an Amazon customer?
I am. I'm on Prime and I love it. And you know, I've told this story before, but we have some companies that have pretty poor customer satisfaction scores in our index. I had an experience where I was at a Best Buy to buy a printer for the office, and I was a little short on time, and I went to Best Buy and I had a very hard time finding the printer I was looking for. I had a hard time finding any printer or anyone who could help me. And from the aisle of Best Buy, I went on my phone and I went on the Amazon app and bought a printer. And to me, that just really speaks to how important it is for the brick-and-mortar stores to compete with online, how they have to focus on the customer experience. It has to be a pleasant experience. I can't go there, not get a parking spot, walk in, wander around, not have anyone help me, not know what the price is, not be able to compare. So it's just not going to work. It's too easy to go onto Amazon Prime to sort by the user ratings, to sort by Prime, to sort a comparison shop within minutes on my phone. It's much more challenging for brick-and-mortar. It could be done. We have some companies that we love that we think are doing it very well, but it's more difficult than it used to be.
Definitely. I know. I love Amazon. I'm an Amazon Prime member. I think I just renewed my subscription. I'm like, I have 2 years, I'm a Prime member.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I
should give you a pin.
I know. I should get like a little pin in the mail, but I feel like my life would be so different without it. But anyway, so on the flip side of this, are there some notable brands that consistently fail to impress on the customer satisfaction index?
Absolutely. So we're seeing Macy's, Sears,
Walmart. Macy's.
Speaking of brick and mortar stores.
Everyone has a story about, but it's not just brick and mortar, because there are brick and mortar stores that are doing well. But these stores in particular are notorious for not having done well. And for years, they've seen decreasing customer satisfaction. And everyone, and I could tell by your reaction as soon as I said the name, everyone has those same stories where, you know what? I went to Macy's, I just wanted to buy a gift for Mother's Day or whatever it is, and it was a miserable experience. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can get away with that for, you know, maybe 6 months, for a year, but if you're going to continue to operate that way over several years, you're going to have an impact. And we're starting to see now the impact. Everyone's talking about, well, internet's doing so much better than retail now. This isn't a 2017 problem. This isn't a today problem. This has been brewing for some time. And those companies have had a plenty of opportunity to address it. They didn't, and now the chickens are coming home to roost.
I want to steal some words that you just used. I think miserable experience was the phrase. So yeah, this is kind of just to touch on, I don't know if it's the elephant in the room, but what I would describe as a miserable experience that one very famous customer had now recently, being dragged off an airplane from a now infamous airline company, the United incident. Is that something that you look to as an incident that's going to have a serious impact, or are these kind of customer satisfaction ratings more of a long-term thing? Basically, what I'm getting at is this a complete and utter disaster for a company like United?
So that's a great question. Now, the elasticity of different sectors is very different. If you look at Wells Fargo, they can have thousands of people severely impacted by their practices, and the elasticity of the people that were not directly affected was quite low. People, you know, it's a whole hassle to change your bank and to go through that whole process, and most people brushed it off. In the same vein, you have 25 people get sick of the Chipotle, and millions of people stop going to Chipotle, or their views on Chipotle change. So, you know, in that case, the fast food industry is much, much more elastic and sensitive to these types of things than the banking industry. With the airline industry, it's very interesting because all the airlines are low for the most part, right? And everyone's got their horror story of the airlines. What we're seeing, the reason why this story really caught fire and why so many people were just so outraged by it is because it's a bubbling up of, you know, what's been going on for a long time, and everyone is out of patience. And this was just, I think, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. And what we're finally starting to see is that when people go on Kayak or they go to buy their flight, wherever they buy their flight, instead of buying the cheapest flight that comes up, they're finally starting to make decisions based on those customer experiences and based on their feelings and their views of the different airlines. So We love JetBlue. We love Alaska Air. As you might expect, Spirit is quite low, although it's come up a bit. United is very low. Now, you know, is what happened with United, is that because their satisfaction scores are low, does that speak to the environment that they've and the culture that they've created over there where they didn't focus on the customer experience? We think so. But what we're really starting to see now is, for the first time, a lot of people might say, well, I hate United. They left me stranded in Pittsburgh that one time. But what we're really starting to see now is people are finally starting to select their airlines. They'll pay the extra $50 to avoid the airlines that they don't like.
Yeah. I've had very little experience with airlines just in my life in general.
Yeah.
So I can't attest to any of these horror stories. But I feel like whenever I need to go fly somewhere in the future, I mean, I'm going to look out.
Yeah.
For a United flight, for sure.
Yeah, and it's easy to these days. It's
definitely.
For sure. Like I like how you brought up Kayak and the different kind of compiling sites. With travel, it seems like I have all the options right in front of me immediately.
Yeah. So Phil, you kind of already touched on this with this industry-specific elasticity, but are there other industries that tend to always leave customers either satisfied or frustrated?
For the most part, we see that utilities are low. Cable companies, as you might imagine, are low. Cable companies were always low because they didn't need to worry about customer satisfaction. Now, you know, it's another example where if you anger your customers for long enough, they will find an alternative, mm-hmm. and we're starting to see that happen as well. Retail has actually come back a little bit this year, even though it's low. It's lower than it should be with the threats that they're facing from online. And you know, another interesting one I would say is social media. It's starting to decline a little bit. People are increasingly agitated, I think, with the tone of their social networks and the feeds that they're seeing. And a lot of privacy concerns are continuing to pop up from the customers that we talk to.
Especially after this last election, I can definitely see that.
Definitely.
I mean, I try to use Twitter for financial news, and you can't avoid politics no matter how hard you try.
Definitely. All right. So I want to talk before we go a little bit more specifically about ACSI Funds, your firm. Can you speak more specifically about the company and how investors can cash in on your investment philosophy?
Sure. So we've managed a hedge fund for about 10 years that selects companies based on their customer satisfaction ratings and trends. We launched in November 1st of last year, we launched the ACSI American Customer Satisfaction Core Alpha ETF, which is a diversified portfolio of U.S. equities where we weight the individual companies in each sector by their customer satisfaction rankings. So we tilt the basket towards the companies that are the most loved, that they're going to see the most repeat business, and that we are the most bullish on.
Well, Phil, I will say, I think we could probably talk to you for hours. This podcast, especially, we like to focus a lot on this customer experience. So it's really nice to hear and see how investors can actually benefit from that. We want to thank you again for coming on, though. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, anytime. Happy to talk anytime.